Hello and welcome to Solid Steps Radio. This is Chad Russell, solo today. Well, I say solo. Kurt is not in the studio. We are actually doing a little bit of a special show this weekend. We are re-airing a show, and we want to promote our guest for our upcoming listener appreciation event. Dr. Chuck Tackett was on our show back in February of this year and had one of our most responded to shows. Many people came up to me and said, hey, I heard that show and it was a great show. And Dr. Tackett is going to be our speaker at our listener appreciation event, which is going to be October the 1st. And we wanted to take this weekend's show to really promote that and to let you know about it. It is a free event. It does not cost you anything. But the only thing we do need from you is to RSVP. So if you can go to furtherstillministries.org, furtherstillministries.org, or you can go to our Facebook page on Solid Steps Radio, and you can see a link to click on for the free event. Again, it's October 1st. It's going to be at the Sawyer Hayes Community Center from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's going to be catered by one of our show sponsors, by Southern Smoke Catering. And again, it's a free event. We've done this for 4 years now of being on air. We've given a listener appreciation event. And we want to thank the people who've been on the show. We're going to have a lot of guests who are going to be there as guests, who've been on the show as guests. And we'd love to have any listeners who just say, you know what, I enjoy what you do. Come on out. And that's going to be, again, on October the 1st. But here's a little caveat. We need you to RSVP by Tuesday, September the 17th. We need to get some headcounts by Tuesday, September the 17th for the October 1st event. So go to furtherstillministries.org, click on the sign up, and you can get an RSVP for this free listener appreciation event. We would love to have you. We are so excited about Dr. Chuck Tackett. So what you're going to hear is a show we did this past February with Dr. Tackett about marriage and how to fight in a way that leads to intimacy. And it's also on our podcast. It was podcast number, I think it was 171. So here's Dr. Chuck Tackett.
Chuck, last week we learned some incredible insights of how to argue and blow up your marriage and have a pathetic, lousy marriage. And you talked about the four horsemen, and then you added one additional thing.
Right.
Remind us, going down this road, how we can destroy our marriage.
All right. Just remember that the four horsemen of the apocalypse have five factors, just like the Big Ten has 14 teams. Okay? So the key in this is, let's just go ahead and very quickly recap them. The worst, most destructive one of all is contempt. And in contempt, that means you see yourself as being better than your spouse. You see yourself above your spouse, more important than your spouse. And typically, we do that either through insults or mockery or criticism or the dreaded AU-14 hate smile. And so you need to go back to next week to get to that one.
Yeah.
So contempt is the worst by far. The second is criticism. And in criticism, you're taking a specific problem that you see or a specific issue that you have, and you're associating your partner's, your spouse's personality or character, and you're basically saying they have a deficit in their personality or a deficit in their character. Mm. So whatever the problem is that you're noting, you're saying, in essence, to them that they're messed up. Okay? Then the third is defensiveness, which basically means we're talking about a problem, but my attitude in talking about a problem is I'm going to protect myself. Emotionally, mentally, I'm going to protect myself. And whenever I seek to protect myself in a disagreement, all I really do is escalate the argument. Now, the most common way that we do defensiveness is the dreaded yes, but phrase. So if you catch yourself saying yes, but, you are being defensive. And the downside of defensiveness is you're freezing the argument in place, which is only going to frustrate the person, you know, your spouse that you're having a discussion with.
Because all they hear is but.
Correct.
And
which means you're going to try to negate what they just said.
Yeah. My wife always says, anytime you say but, you just erased everything you just said.
That's it. Nancy, that's exactly right.
Nancy says the exact same thing.
I know.
Right.
Well, see, they had a special class in woman's school on that. That was a class that for some reason in Man School, the author of Man School did not decide to put that class in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something as guys is we have to learn along the way. Okay? So we've got contempt, criticism, defensiveness, then stonewalling, which is basically an autonomic response. It's a fight or flight response in the brain, and it means you're just simply overwhelmed. Now, when we're stonewalling, it's not like we're most of the time consciously choosing to do that. It just simply means we're overwhelmed. We're in that fight or flight response. Now, ladies, I have something to say to you. Stop talking to your husband when he is stonewalling. What you learned in woman's school was directly go to him and talk to him more and try to break him out of stonewalling. Please stop that, because all you're doing is escalating it to another level. What's best to do in that situation is simply call a timeout. Now, since this is Kentucky, basketball is huge in Kentucky. And when you see a ref give the T sign, it means one of two things, right? So what does it mean, guys?
Timeout or you're getting a technical.
That's right. So ladies, think of it this way. If you keep pushing when he's stonewalling, you're going to get a technical foul. And he will eventually feel overwhelmed so much that he will come back at you with contempt and say things that you don't ever want to hear. So it's better, if you don't want to hear those things, to simply call a timeout. Now, give him 20 minutes away. You all, women, you can calm down in about 10 minutes. For men, it takes us 20 minutes to calm down. Now, when he comes back and you rejoin the discussion with one another, don't say something to him like, "Oh, it's nice to see you." Okay? Because honestly, that's a form of contempt.
So just a real quick question, Chuck. So 20 minutes. Do we need to take a walk when we do that?
Yeah. You can take a walk or go off and listen to some music or read something. But I would recommend you kind of pick up the scripture and start reading scripture.
Mm.
That's the better thing to do. Get your mind off yourself and get your mind onto what God may be trying to do in the midst of your discussion with one another.
Okay, so that's number four.
Number four. And number five is belligerence, which is using humor in a destructive way towards your spouse. Along with that, it's sometimes belligerence is taunting your spouse.
You are just picking a fight, even worse than that.
Really, in belligerence, you're trying to utterly destroy them emotionally. And so belligerence is stunningly destructive. Now, the most destructive of all those factors really is contempt, because it happens much more frequently than belligerence tends to happen. Okay?
Okay. Wow, that's Chad, what do you, any
no, they're in, just as convicting this week as they was last time. So, yes. I can't wait for this show to say, what's the flip side of
okay,
this?
Okay, so all now right. Let's turn the corner.
Okay.
Chuck, because how do we argue and how do we struggle through communication and it leads to greater intimacy? My first question is, when you say intimacy, what do you mean by that? Because I think you're right. Most of us guys, when we hear intimacy, we hear sexual intimacy.
Right.
But what do you mean?
Well, several years ago, I did a marriage conference at First Gethsemane, which was an absolutely fantastic day to do that. At the end of the conferences that I do, marriage conferences that I do, I allow the husbands and wives to write questions, fold them up on a little piece of paper, put them in a fishbowl, and then invariably I'll have one of the couples come up and start pulling out questions at the end of the seminar. And so one husband asked the question, if I want to be sexually intimate with my wife, how long before that do I need to be connected with her? And I said to him, if you want to be sexually intimate on Friday night, start being nice to her on Tuesday. Start caring about her, investing in her on Tuesday. Now, that's a lesson Man School didn't teach us. It's an extremely powerful lesson, though.
Yes. It reminds me of, I think, Kevin Lehman's book, Sex Begins in the Kitchen. And it starts.
I don't care what room you're in. You just start the niceness, okay?
Be nice.
Be nice.
Be gentle. And
we'll
kind
dig in. We'll dig
gracious.
In more to how you do that here today.
Okay. So Chuck, intimacy But intimacy for a guy,
right.
it leads to sexual intimacy.
Right.
For a woman, talk to us guys just real quickly about intimacy from a woman's perspective.
Well, ultimately, she wants to be known and understood holistically. She wants you to know and understand her thinking. She wants you to know and understand her emotional life. She wants you to holistically just know her. Know what she thinks, know what she feels, know how the Lord's at work in her life, know what's going on in her friends' lives. She wants you to holistically know what's going on in her life. And if you know and relate to her tenderly as you talk about those things, then that increases the likelihood that she'll want to be physically intimate with you.
Mm. Do you hear that, Chad?
I did. I'm taking dubious notes here.
We need to take a break.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to say, how do we fight and argue? And it leads to that greater intimacy.
So we're going to take a break. And I heard a gentleman told me once that intimacy can also be said, into me you see. Allowing the person to see inside of them, in their heart, mind, and their soul, who they are as a person. So guys hear that and they go, we think physical. Ladies probably think the other end of that spectrum, and that's why God made us opposites, so we can come together and bring those two together to have intimacy. And we're going to talk more with Chuck Tackett over the next couple segments of how you can argue that leads to intimacy here on Solid Steps Radio. Welcome back to Solid Steps Radio. Chad Russell in studio solo today. In our second segment, and if you heard the first segment, you caught Chuck Tackett on a show he did back in February of 2019, and he is the guest on our Listener Appreciation Show coming up, a live event, in October 1 of 2019. We're having a free, yes, I said free, Listener Appreciation event to celebrate being on air for 4 years. We like to do this and just thank all of our folks who listen and are on the show to come out. It's going to be a free meal catered by Southern Smoke Catering. Chris Hadley and his crew is going to do that for us. And we just wanted to replay this weekend show of that show that Chuck did back in February. He's going to be on live in October on our radio event. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Go to furtherstillministries.org, so you can RSVP by September the 17th for that October 1st event. So we're going to head back into the second segment of when Chuck was in here talking about how to fight in a good way that leads to intimacy in your marriage here on Solid Steps.
Okay, so Chuck, how do we argue, and you've got a little of an analogy for us.
Right.
Talk to us.
So from my point of view, the way I talk to my couples about it is, I just simply say, how are you going to launch your relationship into the stratosphere? How are you going to be one of the very best couples on the face of the earth? Because it's possible for any couple to be absolutely excellent. See, in the research, we know the very things we do to destroy our relationships. We know the very things we need to do to actually build a great relationship. Okay, so if you're seeing a marriage counselor right now and you're not going to one that uses the research, find somebody else, okay? Because once you know the research and you take the research and you apply it to your relationship, the odds that you're going to build a great relationship go through the roof. So the way I look at it is I just simply say, let's view it as a rocket. Now, most of us, when we think of a rocket, we think of the booster portion of the rocket and we think of the capsule that the astronauts are in, and we forget the foundation. We completely and totally ignore the foundation that the rocket has to have to be able to launch off of. So if you remember Cape Canaveral, they didn't launch the rockets off of the beach, off of the sand. They built a very complex launching pad. And so right now I want to talk to you about the launching pad. If you want to be a good, constructive, healthy arguer, not to win, arguing to connect, arguing to build intimacy, as Chad and Curtis said, okay, then you have to understand that one of the biggest things you've got to do is you've got to build a high level of positivity. And we noted a little bit of that last week.
Yes.
And so we talked about you need to have a ratio of 30-1 at minimum. If you really want an absolutely fantastic relationship, you have to do 30 positive little things towards one another for every one of those horsemen that you do, or every one of the seven sins that we talked about in the last episode. You need to be able to do that, a 30-1 ratio. And so along the way, what that really does is it helps you to make a deeper connection with one another. It helps you to have a fuller connection with one another. So the first thing I want you to see in that is I want you to write down 10 positive things that you can do for your spouse that take 10 seconds or less to do. 10 positive things you can do for your spouse that take 10 seconds or less to do.
Give us an example, Chuck.
Okay, so let's say when you come home at night and you see one another, whether you're the first one home or your wife is the first one home, have a ritual, have an entrance ritual at night, and come up to one another at night, give each other a hug, that's one, give each other a kiss, that's two.
Are you write,
I'm Chad, writing down.
Chad is writing this down.
I've got one through ten. Keep going, baby. Keep going.
So come in the back door, give her a hug, that's one. Give her a kiss, that's two. And then lean back just a little bit, look at her and say, baby, how was your day? That's three. In a matter of 15 seconds, you've done three.
Mm.
And then once she shares with you her day, you say, baby, thank you for sharing that with me.
That's four.
That's four. And the fifth would be, honey, you really are a sight for sore eyes. I am so glad to see you tonight. That's five. So in 30 seconds, you've done five things. So create a list of a minimum of 10 things that take 10 seconds or less for you to be able to do. Now, my preference is you would eventually create a list that would have 30 of those little things that take 10 seconds or less to do.
Mm.
And then every single day, kind of trade off that list. So if you have a modern phone, then put that in the notes section of your phone. And as you're driving home, every single night, review that list. Or really, when you pull into the driveway, preferably, okay? Review your list. Be prepared when you walk in the door that you're going to make a connection with her that would be meaningful and enjoyable for her and meaningful and enjoyable for you.
Nice. Okay, so Chuck... Chad has a question.
I got a hand raised.
Okay. And there obviously, guys, you can see that on the radio.
There are guys who are going to be just like me.
Right.
I have said before, honey, what can I do to help you show me that I love you? Mm-hmm. One of the things was, you can make coffee for me or something. It was I don't know how many days I missed making coffee for my wife. Here's what happens, though. It becomes a checklist. And so when I see those five things, okay, honey, I did those five things when I walked in.
And that right there, Chad, is the problem.
Please, I'm admitting it.
It's important to do the things. It's important to talk to her in a way, to learn to talk to her in a way that moves her emotionally, that moves her thinking, that moves her spiritually. So it's learning that the power in those things is how you actually relate to her in that situation.
It reminds
in a sense, take pride in the fact that you can move her emotions.
You're talking emotional connection.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Yes.
And sometimes I can make the coffee for me more than her. Meaning, I'm doing this for me. Honey, I hugged you. I kissed you. And she's like, well, you didn't really do those things for me. You did those things for you. So you can say, I did those things. You're absolutely right. It's the emotional connection. Am I doing these things to move her? Or am I doing them for me to say, hey, I did what I was supposed to do?
Well, take pride in the fact that you can move her emotionally.
Mm.
That's a big issue. Okay, growing up going to man school, we didn't learn that that was a valuable thing. All right? So one of the things, guys, you can do is listen to some romantic, warm, engaging music on the car ride home.
Mm.
Get your mind ready to make a positive, emotional, loving, and tender connection with your wife.
You're talking about when you're by yourself.
When you're by yourself in the car, or even if you got the kiddos in the car.
Right.
You know, they'll probably be in the back making the barf sign, but that's okay. Okay? they'll learn in the future, that's a very important thing. So take pride in the fact that you as a husband know how to positively, emotionally move your wife in a way to the very core of her being.
Okay, so Chuck.
So that's part of the foundation for being really good and constructive at these disagreements that you have with one another. Okay, if she knows that you can relate to her in a way where you can move her emotionally in a positive way, and you know that, it decreases the likelihood that you're going to do the horseman, because you're going to like that connection. In a sense, you're going to get greedy, okay, for that emotional, that positive emotional connection you have with one another, because it feels really good. It feels good to do it, and it feels good to know that you're the kind of husband who can do that.
So basically, our job as husbands is to creatively put together a list of things that resonate with our wives and will emotionally connect with them, and we can and try to do things that are 10 seconds or less, but other things as well.
Well, the reason for 10 seconds or less is you want to be able to do things at a high frequency. Because remember, the minimum ratio is 30 to 1. That's the ratio you want to shoot for. And so if everything took a minute, most of the time at night, you don't have 30 minutes to do that. Okay? So it needs to be things that take 10 seconds or less to do.
This is good stuff. Okay, so that anything else on the foundation that we need to know?
Yeah, a couple of other things on the foundation. Okay. The next is become a student of your wife. Study her. Not study her to dominate her or to defeat her. Be a student of her. Understand who are the most important people in her life. Understand why those people are the most important people in her life. Understand her values. Understand the principles that make up who she is as a person. Understand why she does the things she does.
The good, bad, and the ugly. I mean, everything. We need to be a student of her.
Right. Right. That's one of the big characteristics that we see in fantastic couples. They are students of one another. Okay? So you have to be that.
And the biblical framework is...
What's the biblical concept is knowing?
You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Well, that's a part of it, but, you know, all the way back in Genesis, the husband is to know his wife. And we, as guys, we always take that to mean sex. But it doesn't just mean that. That's a part of it, and it's a very important part of it. That's not the be-all and end-all of it. Okay? You have to know her holistically. That's the big key.
Okay, and you had one more. I think you can
see. Yeah, so in a part of foundation, so you want to know that. And so then three lists. You want 30 of those 10 seconds or less things.
Okay.
Okay? You want to create a list of 30 things that take a minute or two to do, and do those things that take a minute or two to do. Do one or two of those a day. And then you want a list of things that take maybe 15 minutes to do, around 15 minutes to do, and then try to do maybe 4 or 5 of those a week.
Can you give us an example of a 15-minute...
On the next break, we'll hear that.
We're going to come back and we'll hit that.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in the next segment to hear more of what we can do as men to lead to intimacy with our wives here on Solid Steps Radio. Welcome back to our third segment of Solid Steps Radio. Chad Russell in studio solo today, but we are replaying a show that we ran back in February of 2019 by Dr. Chuck Tackett. If you're just joining us, we are having Chuck as our guest for our listener appreciation event, October the 1st. It's a Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And we'd love to have you, listeners, come out to do that. But you got to RSVP. It is free, but you have to RSVP by September the 17th. So if you're hearing this over the weekend, go to furtherstillministries.org, furtherstillministries.org, or you can go to our Facebook page at Solid Steps Radio and click on the event link, and you can RSVP for free to come to that. We'd love to have you, love to meet you. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump back into our show we did back in February with Dr. Chuck Tackett on how to fight in a way that leads to intimacy. And again, he's going to be our speaker at that event October 1st. We would love to see you. So let's go back to Dr. Chuck Tackett. In our last segment, we were talking about three ways to help have a launch pad of taking your marriage to a different level. One of the items was become a student of your wife. And I said during the break, I said, I've always looked at my wife and I said, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And Chuck, in his wonderful and wise way as a counselor.
Gracious way.
Your response was, Chuck?
You're just making her really irate.
Yeah.
Because you're telling her you're not willing to do the work that's necessary to get to know her.
So
that's what every wife wants to know. Are you willing to work to get to know her?
Are you willing to work hard to get to know her?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Hey, on this show, if you ask, you miss a lot. Yeah, you miss it. You miss a show, miss a lot. Miss a break, miss a lot. So we've got this on.
Kidding.
By the way, I'm reminding our listeners, if you want to go back and look at the behind the scenes, if you will, we videotaped three segments of our show and put it on our Facebook page. So if you want to hear the in-between chatter between segments, go to our Facebook page and check that out.
Okay, so Chuck, we need some examples or help. You mentioned we have 30.
Right.
30 things that we can do in 10 seconds.
Right.
30 things we need to creatively, you know,
correct,
make a list of 30 things we can do in 1 to 2 minutes or so.
Correct.
And then we need 30 things that we can do every, you know, in a 15-minute slot.
Right.
That we do, you know, periodically, like 4 or 5 times a week.
Right.
Give us a few examples.
Okay, so like a 2-minute thing would be,
yes,
instead of waiting for your wife to make the bed in the morning, you make the bed in the morning. You straighten the bed up in the morning. Yeah, it's going to take you max 90 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, probably what will happen the first time you do that and she comes back and she sees the bed, she'll probably faint. You'll need to resuscitate her, and both of you will enjoy that, hopefully. Okay?
That's a good place to do that, in the bed, I guess.
That's a good place, okay? But then when you're done, then make the bed again, okay? So a 15-minute thing would be, okay, you're going to take the garbage out. You're going to go through the house. You're going to get every garbage can. You're going to empty it into some bags, and you're going to take the garbage out. That's a 15-minute thing, okay? If there's vacuuming that needs to be done in the house, go get the doggone vacuum, and you vacuum it yourself.
Oh, that's why the whole dusting thing.
Yeah.
We need to dust. I hate to dust.
Yeah.
But go ahead and dust.
Okay. Man school teaches us to divide work up into man's work and woman's work. One of the things I'm so thankful for my dad is he said work is work. Mm. And he taught my brother and I, work is work. There's no such thing as man's work and woman's work. Work is work. So every Saturday morning, all four of us would get up, and all of us would clean the house. Dusting, bathrooms, the whole thing. And after we did that, then we'd go out and we all would work in the yard.
Wow. So, you know?
And if with all four of us pitching in, it didn't take any time at all to clean the whole house up.
Well, and again, what you're describing, this is the research, but like this is the practical biblical framework of being a servant.
Yeah.
And doing things that you don't want to do, and you do them anyway.
Well, also, do those things in a way where you stay positively connected to one another.
Yeah, not mumbling and grumbling the whole time.
Yeah, I don't want to do this. This is terrible. This is disgusting. Well, you can do 5 things, and if you're grumbling with all 5 things that you're doing, you don't get any points, guys.
Ouch.
The attitude you have while you do it is as relevant as the thing you're doing.
All right, so what about the argument is, you're just doing these things to get points. You're just doing these things to get your wife in bed. Doesn't that sound like manipulation, and what's the difference?
The difference is, if while you're doing those things, you're positively connected to your wife. You're chatting with her. You're enjoying a conversation with her while you're doing those things. See, part of this is the great marriages, the husband, the vast majority of the time, takes great pride in the fact that he can emotionally and cognitively, that is thinking, and spiritually move his wife. He knows how to relate to her in a way that moves her to the very core of her being. And he takes pride in being able to do that.
So
if you want to be able to argue in a way that's constructive, then get really good at connecting with her. Get really good at moving her to the very core of her being. And she'll follow you wherever you all know that God wants you to go. But if you're lousy at that, why would she follow you? She doesn't know if you're going to lead her off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
because emotionally you've not done what you needed to do to make that deep and abiding connection with her.
Chuck, talk to our listeners just real quickly about how do we know that we've deposited and made a good emotional connection?
When your wife looks at you, she'll smile.
Yes, okay.
She'll smile, she'll tease you.
You'll see it in her eyes.
Yeah, or she'll give you kind of this hesitant little look, you know? They're like, okay, why are you doing that? And then when you get that look, you go over to your wife and you say, honey, you already know I love being physically intimate with you anytime, any day, anytime. I'm also learning, honey, that I'm really terrible at making a positive emotional connection with you throughout the day. And so, baby, I'm going to get good at that. That's the last thing I do on the face of the earth. I'm going to get good at that.
Mm. I think a great prayer is, Lord, help me to understand, help me to make those and have a better creativity in making those connections.
Yeah.
And the God of the universe is really creative.
He is stunningly creative.
And he's very helpful. Yeah. Okay, Chuck.
Okay.
Where do we go to?
Okay, let's go now to the phase two is the booster rocket. So we talked about the launch pad. Let's talk about the rocket that actually, you know, takes your marriage to the very next level. So the first thing is, let's say you're actually in a discussion with one another that potentially could turn into an argument. In the research, one of the dynamic things that we see in that situation is they call this phenomena the startup, how you begin the potential disagreement. And so they say, use a soft startup, not a harsh startup. Because, this is very important what I'm saying right now, guys. 96% of the time, how you start a disagreement will be how you finish a disagreement.
Oh.
How you start a disagreement will be how you finish a disagreement. So odds are extremely high that if you use a soft startup instead of a harsh startup, then odds are you're going to be more productive in being able to resolve that concern.
Okay, can you give us a real quick?
Let me give you a soft startup.
Yes.
Okay. A soft startup would be, honey, it would be helpful to me if we could sit down and we could talk about this concern. That's a soft startup. You're making a request. You're not saying a harsh startup, which would be, okay, can you come on over here and sit down right now? We need to figure this out.
I can't even begin to relate, Chuck. I have
okay.
no idea.
Okay. Do you need me to give you the number of the delusional experts in town, Kurt? So, well, we're all tempted to do the harsh startup. And our wives can be excellent at doing harsh startups, too. But you want to start with that soft startup because remember, 96% of the time, the way you start the discussion will be the way the discussion ends.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
So you've got to start out with that very, very tender, very, very soft startup. Okay. So as a part of doing that soft startup, what you're really trying to do is you're staying away from blame. You're staying away from blame. You're staying away from making evaluative statements where you're evaluating them in some way, analyzing them in some way. You're staying away from judging them. And you use the word I. Honey, I and me. Honey, it would mean so much to me if you had a few minutes tonight where we could sit down and we could talk about this specific concern. I know you've had a very busy day. I know every day you have a very busy day. And I'm thankful, honey, for what you do. But it would mean a lot to me if we could sit down and we could talk about this concern for maybe 15, 20 minutes tonight. We may not be able to resolve it. I would like to make it a little bit better if I could. That's a request.
That's good stuff. We're gonna pick up from there.
So we're gonna take a break, come back in the next segment and a fourth and final segment, and we're gonna finish this off and talk about the third, which is we go from a launch pad to a booster rocket to
the capsule that the astronauts are in.
Oh man, that sounds fun.
We're taking it to the whole nother level.
So if you've ever been accused of being out in space, this is what we're gonna be talking about. So we're gonna take a break, be back on Solid Steps Radio. Welcome back to our fourth and final segment today of a replay of a show we did back in February of 2019 with Dr. Chuck Tackett on fighting fair in marriage. Dr. Tackett is going to be our speaker at our October 1st event. It's a free listener appreciation. You heard me right. Free listener appreciation event for all of our listeners. We'd love to have you come. Catered by Southern Smoke Catering. Also, Frank Enterprises, Bright Star Home Care, Vision First, L&N, and Dan Hart Financial are going to be our sponsors as well, as they are our show sponsors. But we're going to have a free listener appreciation event October 1. We need you to RSVP, though, by September the 17th. So if you're hearing this show over the weekend, you've got until the 17th of September to RSVP. We'd love you to do that. Go to furtherstoneministries.org, or you can go to our Facebook page at Solid Steps Radio. Click on the link, and we'd love to have you. So enjoy this fourth and final segment of Dr. Chuck Tackett, and we hope to see you at the listener appreciation event.
Okay, so Chuck, you got phase one we've already walked through. Phase two, you're kind of going to...
A couple more things to note in there.
Yes.
So when understanding that you've got to do these soft startups when you talk to one another. So let me go ahead and say that you need to be very clear with one another. You need to be polite, and you need to be appreciative when you talk to one another. So clear, polite, and appreciative. Okay? Now, a key part of this whole soft startup thing and part of the booster rocket is what I call the 20-60-120. 20-60-120. And this helps to build intimacy, which then helps to have more efficient kind of discussions or arguments with one another that are beneficial for the relationship. So the 20 is 20 minutes a night you sit down and you just chat with one another somewhere in the house, on the sofa, chairs in the family room, whatever. You just sit down and you chat with one another about interesting things that you've heard that day, things that you want to discuss that are non-problem things. You know, so you just sit down and just have a pleasant, enjoyable conversation with one another. You know, how's God been at work in your life that day? What was the Lord saying to you that day? What interesting things did you see or hear that day? Okay.
So that's not a, hey, we need to talk about something heavier, like our kids.
No.
I heard this on the radio. Hey, honey, did you hear this on the radio today? And different things.
Pleasant, enjoyable conversation for 20 minutes every single night. That's one of the things that in the research we see the very best couples do. The second thing is the 60, and that is one evening a week for 60 minutes max. You sit down and you talk about the problems or challenges that you guys face as a couple, which means the rest of the week you don't talk about problems. During that 60-minute period of time, you talk about problems. The rest of the week you don't, unless, and here's the rule I have, unless the house is actually on fire.
Or a tornado's coming.
Or somebody in the house has a compound fracture with arterial squirting blood. Then you'll talk about the problem. But it's got to be serious outside of that 60 minutes. It's got to be a very serious problem to talk about. Because let's be honest, as men, we don't like to talk about problems at all. We would rather you take us out back and beat us with a baseball bat than sit down and talk about a problem. Now, I'm not advocating that, okay? But we just don't like talking about problems. So our wives, growing up going to women's school, they learned to talk about problems all the time. So what we have to understand is you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Can't talk about problems all the time. So 60 minutes a week, you sit down, you talk about the problems. The 120 is the date time. Now, date time doesn't include a movie. It's where the two of you go out and you have a meal with one another, or you go out and you take a long walk with one another. But for 2 hours, you're out with one another just enjoying one another. Okay.
Now, can you do that at home or no?
If the kids aren't around.
Oh, okay.
But you have to be away from everybody, and that means you take your cell phones or any technology and you put it off to the side. And it's just the two of you out somewhere doing whatever it is you're going to do while you're out there.
And you surely can't bring anything up that you problem issues.
Don't talk about problems during the daytime. Yeah, 60 minutes a week where you're going to talk about
that. You can't do the combination.
No combos. The problem discussion has to be on a given evening that's set aside. You're going to talk about the problems on that evening. The rest of the week, though, you're not going to talk about the problems. Now, the vast majority of wives are agreeable to that because they just want the problems talked about. Mm. They just want to try to make the problems a little bit better. So we need to give them that. Okay? What we get in return is problems are only talked about, discussed in that 60-minute time frame. So then we come home at night and we don't have to worry about talking about problems, unless it's something that's extremely serious that we have to talk about related to the kids or something else.
That's
good. That's the trade-off that we have to have.
That's
now,
good.
Now, the other big thing in this is, so soft startups is big key. Stay away from the harsh startups. The second thing is learn to make and receive what are called repair attempts. When I was out in Dr. Gottman's lab in 2000, they were actually working on this whole concept of repair attempts, because in the research, they would see a couple in the conflict discussion research, they would see a couple do a horseman. And then they would see immediately the husband did the horseman or the wife did the horseman. Immediately they would fix it. So let's say the husband would insult his wife. He would say, well, in this conflict discussion, he would say, honey, well, that was stupid. And he would catch himself and he'd say, honey, I apologize. It was completely and totally inappropriate for me to insult you like that. Honey, I apologize. That's a repair attempt. When he would do a horseman, he would immediately repair the damage that he just did. That's called a repair attempt. Now, the wife would need to receive that. If she were to say to him, no, no. Well, that's called a failed repair attempt. She wouldn't receive the repair attempt. If the repair attempt was made and she received it, then what we would see in the research lab is we would see their heart rates be at about 5 to 6 beats per 5 seconds. See, because we had them wired up for heart monitor. They had a heart monitor on, and so we could tell their heart rates. Okay? And so when the repair attempts were received, it was really very beneficial to the couple. Okay?
And you try to do that as quickly as possible.
As quickly as you can.
So what if you don't, I mean, so, okay, let's say you catch it next day.
Yeah.
You still
have to go back and make the repair attempt.
Got it.
You still have to apologize. Okay?
Yep.
All right, so now let's move from the booster rocket to the capsule that the astronauts are in, okay?
You call this phase three.
Phase three of it, okay?
Okay.
So really in phase three, there are basically 5 things that you're really trying to do very, very quickly here. Dominantly, let's look at it from this point of view. You're trying to build godliness and meaning into your relationship. Godliness and meaning into your relationship. So there are 5 godliness characteristics I want you guys to really begin to add to your relationship. The first one is in Ephesians 5. It deals with verse 21, and it's what I call submissive love. That much of the time we look at verse 22 in Ephesians 5, and we have to understand that in verse 22, the word submission doesn't occur. In verse 21, the word submission occurs. And it means that brothers and sisters, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to have a submissive attitude towards one another. We have to care more about the other than we care about ourselves. We have to take that attitude that we do out of awe and reverence of God, and we've got to bring that into our marital relationship. We've got to care more about the other than we care about ourselves. So that's the first characteristic. Second characteristic is out of Song of Songs, and we call that new opportunity love. New opportunity love. When you read the Song of Songs, which honestly is the only X-rated book in the Bible, okay? So when you read the Song of Songs, you have 2 people who are husband and wife in love with one another, and they're constantly trying to find new ways to discover and to communicate love and care and concern for one another.
Wow.
So that's the second characteristic. Third characteristic is sensitive love. So when you go to Ephesians 5 and verses 28 through 30, you see 2 key words in sensitive love, and that's nourish and cherish. And what's intriguing about that is it's the husband who's given the assignment to nourish and cherish, not the wife. So what we're learning from that is the husband is the one who's responsible for the emotional tone within the household, not the wife. Our culture says she's responsible for the emotional tone of the household. And Scripture says it's the husband who's responsible for the emotional tone.
That's
now, cherish simply means speak tenderly, relate tenderly, softly to your wife. And nourish actually means to emotionally and relationally and spiritually feed her, nourish her. I'm not saying force a meal down her throat. Okay, just very lovingly and tenderly nourish her along the way. So that's the third characteristic. Fourth characteristic is specific love. And we get that from Ephesians 5:31, where we have to specifically declare our love for one another every single day, multiple times a day. Okay, we see that in the very best couples in Dr. Gottman's research lab and in my research lab too. And then the fifth one is what I call sacrificial love. And we get that from verse 23 and verse 25 in Ephesians 5. And in those 2 verses, we come to understand that the Lord is the Savior, and the Lord gave himself up for the church. So we have to be sacrificial towards our wives. We have to care and live out that care for them. That has to be our focus. And so when we are doing that towards them, so when we have this submissive love in the sense that we care more about them than we care about ourselves, we're looking for new ways to love them. We're very sensitive in that love. We nourish and we cherish them. We specifically declare our love for them. And then we're sacrificial for them. We care more about them than we care about ourselves. You do that consistently for your wife, she'll follow you wherever the Lord leads. You don't do that, she's going to be very hesitant to follow you.
Mm. Chuck, I can't believe it, but our time is up. Mm-hmm. But that is absolutely rich, rich, rich. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Would you pray just real quickly for us guys?
Lord, thank you so much for the time we can spend together this day. I pray, Lord, you'll take what we shared with one another, use it to bring you yourself, Lord, honor and glory, and use it to feed our brothers and sisters out there who long to have a great relationship with one another. Mm. It's in your name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck, what's the best way to reach you?
Email cwtackett, T-A-C-K-E-T-T, at AOL.com. Yes, AOL still exists.
And Chuck gets those emails. So,
right. That's my personal email account.
So you're going to have to go back and listen to this again, guys. If you caught 5 minutes of this, you need to go back and listen to it again as an individual. And then you probably need to have your wife listen to it. And then you probably need to listen to it together. And you probably need to sit down and actually talk about this, because this is hard work. As I'm sitting there hearing all these, I'm like, this is some effort and work. And that's what we're called to do, to work and put some effort in with God for our spouse. So thank you for listening. And again, if you want to hear this in their entirety without any commercials, go to Facebook, SoundCloud, iTunes, and just type in Solid Steps Radio, or you can go to furtherstoneministries.org. Can you think of someone, you who hear this needs this, but can you think of someone who's going through some tough times? Send this to them and encourage them and say, hey, listen to this and pray through this. Thank you for listening to Solid Steps Radio.